wither on the vine.
More news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
And hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and of course, tech news that you can use, brought to you here in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading and streaming to the world via our podcast, which will hopefully in the first quarter of 2017 be showing up on iTunes. We'll be joining the other great podcasts. But there's an involved process. So right off the bat, I have a number of people on my friends list on Facebook. Or, as one of those friends who I used to work with in the radio business is now calling it, hate book. I had to step back. Folks, really, it's become roadkill.
It's supposed to be social media.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a social network. Instead, it has become the most vile, ugly, spewy. And I'm not just talking about those who dislike Trump. I'm talking about the people who are spewing from the opposite ends of the spectrum, and it meets in the middle, and I'm stepping out of it. I can't do that anymore.
I've never been a Facebook fan anyway. But I have been so busy with almost 118 hours on my 2 weeks' worth of payroll that I hadn't been following Facebook for a while. So
it just got – I thought after the election it would get better. No, it's gotten worse.
Well, you know, even aside from that, what I discovered is by not having time to look at Facebook – and I do enjoy keeping up with some friends and what's going on in their lives. I don't post much because, one, I don't take the time to do it, and, two, as we'll talk about later in the show, there's some – what goes on there stays on there forever.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that the world is all that interested in what I'm doing. Plus, I just don't need that out there. And, in my current employment status, I have to be very careful what I say as well, just because that can follow you around. But I used to look at Facebook before I went to bed and kind of use that to a little relaxation and whatever. And what I discovered by looking at it last night for the first time in about 2 weeks is that it just irritated the heck out of me. Some things I'm following friends and they're just posting about their family and stuff, and that's cool. That's what I want to see. But there was a whole bunch of other stuff on there, and it wasn't just from people, friends. There were, suggested posts and things like that. It's like, which is the advertisements that get put on there by Facebook.
Yeah.
I said, I don't need this. I realized this morning that I was irritated when I went to bed. I said, I don't need that.
So yeah.
The other thing I discovered is instead of looking at Facebook one night, I actually took time to watch a nature program on PBS, and it was very interesting. It was about sloths. And we could take a few lessons from the sloths. But it's still,
Zootopia suddenly.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yes. Absolutely. And I was thinking of that one several times.
If you've never seen Zootopia, go see it.
You have to.
It's not a kid's movie.
That
only.
Scene is worth it. The DMV is worth it alone. Okay. And I've been complaining about having 15 pounds of stuff to fit in the 3-pound bucket, and I decided that I could probably shed at least a pound if I didn't worry about Facebook.
And, the great time suck.
Yeah, and maybe I have more time. At the very least, I can now waste games playing a few games or something.
Yeah.
But I might have that time. I've been following Facebook fairly frequently. I think I'm going to take that time and start reading some of my magazines that I never get to.
I have a backlog of much books more informative. On my Kindle and things like that.
I just have to disconnect from it because it's not stuff that I want to follow. And it's not that I'm willfully ignorant of want to be willfully ignorant of what's in the headlines. I check that out. Most of what I'm seeing are reposts of other things that if you're following the news or whatever, you've already had exposure to. I don't need people reposting things. I want to know about them.
Yeah.
I don't want them to repost things. In fact, several people on my Facebook, I haven't unfriended them. I just don't follow them because they never post anything original. It's always reposting of something else. Don't care. That doesn't tell me anything about what's up with you.
Yeah. I put it out that if I see what I'm calling political roadkill, and I don't care who it's from, if it crosses a line that is my own line, I unfollow you. I won't unfriend somebody because I think that's petty. That I still want to be able to
check in with it every once in a while. Things like that. Are you still up to that stuff? Yep, same way it was.
But if you're posting stuff that just makes me want to throw my phone across the room, and I took it off my phone first because of the power drain.
I went up to you on that. I never had it on my phone.
then when this latest round of nonsense started, and I'm sorry. You may have a valid gripe. You may have a valid concern. You may have a, in your mind, valid panic. I don't. I think that we have some interesting times ahead. But the just, and I have no word for it, but spew. Enough. I'm making my statement saying enough. Well, you have the right to talk. I have the right to ignore.
Well, right. And the thing about it is, for me, social media is exactly that. You know, what's news with you and how are things going and how are you doing? And I get that for some people this is their life and that sort of thing. And certainly people have a right to have their opinion. Certainly people have a right to discuss what's going on. It's just that I don't feel like I want to take my too limited time outside of work to engage in that sort of thing. And so I'm disconnecting from it quite a bit. I never was that engaged to begin with, but I'll still have the page there and I may post a thing now and then. I do that about once every 6 months and let people know I'm still alive. But I don't need, we're constantly barraged by all of the roadkill, as you put it, from lots of different angles all day long anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't need to spend my time off engaging in that where it irritates me. So
it's not going to do it. If it upsets you, don't do it. You'll live longer.
Yeah, for sure. I might get some of these other things done that I've been complaining I haven't been getting to. Now I know why. So it was kind of always had a chance to turn Facebook off or do other things or how you spend your time or whatever. But it's easy to get sucked into that vortex because, you get curious. And there's been studies done about how people who don't get enough likes on their Facebook get depressed. So if you stay off of Facebook, you're less depressed. And I can see how that happens. But for me, this is another twist on it about how I choose to basically spend my emotional free time in a sense. And so, I don't need that.
Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction here. I think that it is hitting a point, and we're not alone in this. I saw when I posted my reasoning behind my withdrawing to a great deal from Facebook, I got a lot of agreement and people feeling the same way, that they'd gone on vacation and when they came back, they were just appalled at diving back into that scummy pool and that they were going to be longer and longer intervals between their checking stuff. And I have this feeling that if this continues, if this... I'm starting a movement, let's send, it serves a purpose, but so did MySpace in its day.
Well, and us,
and I see Facebook going the way of MySpace. Sorry, Mark.
Us baby boomers, you know, you picked up the telephone and you wrote a letter.
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up on that sort of thing, and why not? Email is certainly still viable, although it's considered to be somewhat passé. But it is much more personal, and it's direct contact with folks. Even if you send it to a group of people, at least they hear from you directly. And that sort of thing. So, you know, relax a little bit and let's see what actually develops. There's lots of words being flung around and lots of speculation and lots of this and lots of that. But until we know, some of this isn't new. I don't know why some of the things in the world are being presented as if, oh my God, it's the end of the world and we've never had this happen before. That's nonsense.
Yeah,
that's nonsense. This some of this stuff is, nothing is new here, really.
Well, taking a quick look, I haven't pulled... You know, I can look at Facebook as a web page on my laptop. Here's something from a good friend of mine, a very level-headed lady, who said that I took a break for six glorious days, enjoyed a trip to a city, avoided all politics, logged back in, and already remorseful.
Yes.
Going to extend my absence. Those of you who know where to reach me, I'm focusing on my desires and positivity.
Well,
well said.
Yes, definitely. And so kind of leading into one story that I came across is that there's, you know, how do you keep your information safe online and that sort of thing? So this kind of rolls over into that. Data Privacy Day, which I think was the 24th of January, I believe, is an international effort that is to get people to recognize issues about privacy, online privacy and that sort of thing. And one of the things in here is to remember a few things, that what you post online stays there forever. You can't, you know, you can erase it, but if somebody else has passed it on, it doesn't go away. And, you know, there's a number of news cases, for instance, from our local area that have gone viral, and the people that were involved with that, that is there forever.
The Kentucky Fried Deep Sink Girls will be notorious as long as there's an internet.
As long as they live and probably beyond, right?
Yeah,
so this is a little different thing because most of us aren't used to being that public. But something goes viral like that, it is out there and it's going to stay there. So, you know, there's a website called staysafeonline.org. And it's a really excellent webpage that has some really good tips. And if you're kind of new to this online thing or you're worried about your kids or whatever... Some things to think about is that what you post lasts a lifetime, so be careful what you post. Own your own online presence. In other words, set your privacy and security settings on pages like Facebook as to what you're going to share with people, and make sure that that matches your comfort level. You know, I don't even let people know when my birthday is on Facebook. I just don't want to be bothered. And, you know, the world does not need to see that. And that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's out there somewhere and somebody can steal your identity. It's public information and a few other things if they really want to work that hard. But I'm not going to make it that easy for them personally. And no, it's perfectly okay to limit how much information you share and with what entities you share it. So you have to be aware of what's being shared. So that's one of those things where, you know, Facebook wants to do all these things and you have to opt out of it. So before you get into these things too deeply, and that is not just Facebook. That could be maybe your banking things or you belong to some other group and major sites like Pinterest and all of that. You know, how do they suggest things for you? It's because they mine what you're talking about or looking at already. So be very mindful of how this works. And it does require a little bit of homework on this. That's the problem with this. You know, it's great, but, you know, these sites are great, but what are you giving them in exchange? And remember that post only the kinds of things that you about others that you would want to set about yourself as well. So that's
do unto others.
Exactly.
As old as the Bible, boys and girls.
Exactly. This is just a digital twist on that very thing. And so you have to recognize that personal information is a lot like money. You have to value it and protect it because somebody could be making money off your personal information quite literally.
Oh, yeah. Google does all the time.
Well, there's that and all of that.
And Facebook. And,
also lock down your logins. And this is the kind of thing for your device. It's we've talked about on a previous episode of Boomer Tech, where you have two-stage authentication. So that might be a fingerprint plus a passcode and that sort of thing. So wherever you can, you know, put those security measures in place. And so there's a lot of really good information on this page, staysafeonline.org. And we've said this before on Boomer Tech Radio, parents, especially new parents, it is so tempting to post your kids' life online so that grandma and grandpa can see every little daily change in the baby or the great new wonderful things that the kids got to do. But, you know, this is going to follow your children around the rest of their lives. And this is something that you really need to be aware of, that those baby pictures or the seemingly cute prank or what have you, that may be discovered by a future employer and not be favorable. So be very careful. Plus, your kids are not having any say in whether their life is online or not. And you're making that decision for them. And be very, very careful when you're taking pictures and things like that to make sure you have location services off, so that creepy people can't discover, you know, where your cuties are and cause problems, particularly if it sort of becomes known through Facebook and inferns the kids are home alone after school, or you just cannot be too careful. And it's, you know, you hate to think like that, right?
Yeah.
That's just not something you want to have to think about. But, you know, there's cases of these things happening all the time, and we don't want you to suffer any bad consequences from having this digital footprint online.
So we've heard a lot about hacking and how hacking changed the outcome of the presidential election. To repeat, the Russians did not change the outcome of the vote. They may have influenced the people who went in to cast a vote, and that is still being investigated. But the votes that were cast were not altered by hacking, period. The reason is the machines are isolated from the internet, so the only way that you could, quote, tamper with a voting machine is to actually be able to access the physical machine. And that's the reason we don't all vote via the internet. Very, very simple. And along those lines, how about we reiterate? Now, what happened? There's a couple of new scams out, and we've talked about a few of them. The first one is, of course, passwords that you really should not use. And once again, PC World has put out their list of the passwords you should never use, such as, of course, password. So somebody actually, you know, some people actually still type in. Well, yeah, nobody will think of that. 123456, 123456, 123456789. I love you. Princess. Rock you. 98765431. Oh, they'll never think of that. You know, so.
If you think they'll never think of that, they've probably thought of that.
Exactly.
It's sort of like there is no such thing as a free lunch. You know, if it seems too easy to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
You know, that's just too good a deal to be true. It probably is. So if you, they'll never think of that. Come up with something. I had to work with something lately where it was just this totally random. There's no way to remember this password. And the ironic thing is that the password and the username and the password were written on this piece of paper, very prominently attached to this computer in a public semi-public place. Yep. The facility is controlled, but still, that's what you get into with these complex things. So it's like, what do you do?
According to Tech Radar, here are the top password managers. And what a password manager is that you only have to remember a single password. Now, you should never, ever use the same password on multiple sites. That should be distinctly different. So if bad guys do get hold of one site, they don't have all of a sudden your whole. For instance, if you fall for the Gmail login scam that we're going to talk about in just a moment, they haven't suddenly unlocked your bank account. Doing it. So here are some of the top sellers. LastPass is free secure login storage. Dashlane has very good password security, and it covers all your devices, not just your laptop or your home computer, but also your iOS and Android devices. RoboForm is a desktop password manager. KeePass, Sticky Password, those are just a few of the names. Go to sites like PC World and Tech Radar and fish around for good password managers. Even if they cost you a couple of bucks a year, definitely worth the headaches. Speaking of, I forgot where, where I was going with this here. Biometrics right now, of course, to get into my iPad and my Android phone, I use a thumbprint. That's always a good thing. Although, if you recycle the phone, the thumbprint doesn't work. You have to enter the unique password to get back into it, which is real interesting to hear about. So we want you to be safe. Now, the Gmail hack that a lot of even tech experts have fallen for is real insidious. And we talked about this last week. I just want to mention it one more time in light of the topic for this part of the show. You get and I've gotten this again from the same lady, so her computer is still contaminated. It appears to be a legitimate email, and it has a thumbnail image, or you get a line of text that says, "Message not displaying properly. Click here to view the message." Seems innocuous enough, doesn't it? That's a link to a malware site that will download the payload, and what it immediately does is that it will pop up, first of all, a Gmail login page. Now, expect to see this on other services. So if you've got Hotmail, if you've got Yahoo, you poor sod, or any of the
AOL?
AOL or any of the other services, look for something similar because this malware can actually figure out what service you're coming through and pop up a login page. Lots of people use Gmail, so they call it phishing, of course, because they're throwing out the hook and hope that something bites. You get a login page. You say, "Oh, okay, I must have gotten logged off for something for some strange reason." And you enter your username and password. Instantly, the server, which is probably in Russia or yep. or China yep. or somewhere in, you know, some backwoods,
out of country,
yeah, will log into your account and change your password. Now you're locked out.
Well, what's tricky about this one, if I understand it, is that it. Let me back up. Usually when you get these kind of emails, you're suspicious right away. It's just not quite right.
Yeah, and silly syntax. Or
yeah, something just
I'm
is
sending
off.
You $1 million from Nigeria.
Yeah, yeah, all you have to do is send me $2,500 to make that happen, right?
Yeah.
And no such thing as a free lunch. And but with this one, it's a lot harder to tell that this is potential malware because it looks like it could be possible. So, but it's very formulaic in the sense that everybody, you know, this is the same formula they're using with everything. And so be very wary that contact your friend and find out if they really did send something.
Yeah. Now, if you hover your cursor over a link where it says click here and you look at the bottom, in the case of Chrome, you look at the bottom. And I'm looking at an article from PC World about the top 10 passwords. I hovered over view the full article here. Looking at the bottom, you see www.pcworld.com/businesscenter/article/such-and-such, and it actually gives the title of the article.
Right.
That could be spoofed, but if it's some bit ly blah 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 something
weirdo
widow
something dot you know something weird and it looks very strange. Unlike
danger,
a lot of
danger, Will Robinson.
That's right. Looks very odd compared to the URLs you're used to seeing. Definitely wouldn't go there.
Yeah. When in doubt, step away, log out of that session on your browser, log back in, contact your friend, say, "Hey, did you try to send me a message?"
Delete the item
delete
as well.
Delete the email.
Delete
Absolutely.
It right away, and then maybe send your friend an email that says, "Hey, I got this email from you. Did you try to send me something?" Definitely getting more difficult. You know, we have to be more vigilant than ever to try and keep these things from downloading into our systems.
Yeah. And once they're in, of course, you're going to spend just huge amounts trying to get it squared away.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, you may, to the point where they have to completely wipe the computer and reload stuff.
So when we come back, maybe you don't need a full-on computer at all. Maybe an iPad or a Android tablet is all the computer you need. We'll talk about that and so much more of the tech news that you can use right after these messages on Boomer Tech Radio. Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The seeds of corruption are already in full bloom in our country. We see this by the extreme violence and morally bankrupt behavior demonstrated by people from every age group and walk of life. Sadly, this behavior is not something you catch, but it is learned. It's being taught in our colleges, evangelized through TV and movies, and substantiated by the media. Your best protection from this vile corruption is having a living relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Coming to the Cascade Theater this February, it's Midtown Men. It's a high-octane concert celebrating the best of the 60s, reuniting four stars from the original cast of Broadway's Jersey Boys. Midtown Men, Thursday, February 2nd at the Cascade Theater. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
Welcome back. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda, the tech news that you can use. Oh, so much going on. And wanted to, as we record this program, it is the afternoon of Friday the 27th. And it was 7 years ago on this date that Steve Jobs introduced the very first iPad. And it changed the game. It seems like iPads and tablets in general have been around forever, doesn't it?
Well,
they've been just such a part of our life. But it's only been 10 years since the iPhone came out.
Very quickly, 10 years since the iPad came out.
10 years since the iPhone, 7 years since the iPad. It was 2010 when the iPad came out. The original...
Well, the iPhone came before the iPad.
Yeah. Now, actually, the iPad was in development before the iPhone. Isn't that interesting? But they took the those same ideas. When Steve Jobs... Now, Apple had... When Steve Jobs was gone from Apple for a time, and Apple was taking off in different and weird directions... they had a project that was called the Apple Message Pad. But it was expensive. It was cumbersome. It wasn't well thought out.
Before its time, actually.
There was the Apple Newton, too, that was extremely expensive. You had to sync it up to your computer. The Palm Pilot just came along and just whipped them fair and square. Of course, now Apple is now the device out there, and nobody has ever seen it. Nobody's seen a Palm Pilot for years.
Well... smartphones have replaced that. Yeah. I mean, smartphones do everything a Palm Pilot did and then some.
So if you have a good idea in a product, you can bring it to market and the and people will say, hey, this is really cool. We want one of these. So that's...
I think one of Steve Jobs' talents was to have a good feel for things would really use.
As Nick Webb would say... meet your customers' expectations.
Right. Or, design something to solve a problem they didn't know they had type of thing.
Exactly.
You know, solve these problems in either that they do have or that they didn't know they had. And, I have an iPad 2. My brother's using it now. I should hang on to that for a while. That's going to become an antique item. You know, that'll become a piece of computing history.
Now, you have transitioned from... your iPad 2 over to an Android device, which is my old tablet, because I went up to an iPad Pro. but you're pretty happy with the difference between Apple's iOS operating system and the Android operating system, aren't you?
I like my Samsung Galaxy tablet that you're cast off. but to be fair, my iPad 2 is somewhat of a cast off.
Yeah.
And I don't need the big iPad Pro that you have, that's too much. I don't want to bother with that.
The iPad Air is good for general purpose use, and the iPad Pro 9-inch is a good pack-around tablet.
The iPad Mini is good for some things.
Yeah. The Mini is good, but if you are okay with that form factor, get three Kindles.
Yeah, that's true.
you'll break those and still be ahead of the game.
Yeah. If it gets stolen or whatever, the Apple stuff is expensive, but their hardware is robust, and we've talked about this a number of times before. But it does have
longevity. Now, a little bit later on, I'm going to be talking about for a lot of people, the iPad Pro can be a laptop replacement. There's means out there to where you can do 90. I mean, you're not going to game, you're not going to edit the next cinematic video.
No.
Although you can do some video and video editing on an iPad. But as far as the surfing the web, doing documents, running spreadsheets, etc.
It's perfect.
iPad Pro's got all the oomph you need.
Yep.
Especially if you use Google Docs or Microsoft 360 or one of those cloud-based services, mm-hmm. to where any device you pick up that's linked into your account, you're updated across the board. I use Google Docs frequently to update my stuff. So at the time, the patent for an iPad-type device was filed back in 2004, but the iPhone came out first. Apple wanted to figure out multi-touch technology. Tablets appealed to Steve Jobs' love of simplicity and minimalist design. This actually dates all the way back to a Xerox product in 1968 of a tablet-type device with a keyboard built onto it. And actually, when I was in college, we threw around the idea of what we called the clipboard, which was a clipboard-sized computer with a keyboard on it and a display that could be also serve as an oscilloscope, because we had the first digital multimeters and oscilloscopes out. Unfortunately, it was 1984. I didn't patent the darn thing. And Jobs is, Jobs is no longer with us, but, Bill Gates is now, living his leisurely life, and Tim Cook is doing all right.
Are you regretting that you didn't, go forth with some of these ideas?
Well,
else already had it, probably.
Somebody, if I thought of it, sure as heck somebody else thought of it. It was just looking ahead.
Sort of like that password, If you think nobody has it figured out or they'll never figure it out,
exactly.
Somebody else has thought of this thing.
So if you... just trying to keep up with this stuff. People say, "Well, where do you get your story ideas from? How can you talk for 2 hours?" Trust me, we hit the end of the show and we still got a stack of stuff
that we could talk about.
If it was printed out, it'd be a foot high, and we wouldn't have touched the surface of the story.
One reason the show is 2 hours because we always have plenty to talk about.
Yeah. So, happy birthday to the. To the iPad, and long may you reign. Now, another article flipping forward a couple of pages in the Boomer Tech Radio magazine. If you have an old phone, an iPhone or an Android, what do you do with it? Well, you can maybe sell it, although a lot of us like to be sort of pack rat-ish about such things. We still have our own iPhone 4s that serve basically their music players. But I went out today and shot a video, some B-roll. For those of you who are not techno geeks in the video world, B-roll is the location shots of something that doesn't involve a talking head.
Right. It's often the video that you're seeing while someone is talking about it.
Right, right.
That's B-roll.
Yeah. And that dates back to the days when you were doing video editing. You had two decks. You had your A roll, which was your main interview, and your B roll, which was the cutaway shots. And then you would dub those over to yet another machine. I mean, this is now we do it all on a screen with and a mouse at a fraction of the time and cost. So repurposing what we use as our B roll camera, though, rather than a big heavy video camera with a lens a foot long, where you don't need that sort of thing, a smartphone works great. And we used a product today that we talked about back at CES that Star Ackerman of IK Multimedia gave us to evaluate. And I'm going to give a review on real quick here on the iClip camera mount. And what it is a chunk of aluminum square tubing with a handle on it, and in the handle is a plug to plug in a professional XLR type microphone, in this case a wireless mic receiver. Then it has a quarter inch mount to put a holder in, and you can actually mount the whole thing on a tripod and you can route the audio up into your phone. Now it's intended to use with an iPhone, henceforth the name iClip, and there's an app to turn a iPhone 5S or newer into a professional-grade video camera. Now, if you have an Android device, you can still use the iClip, but it isn't quite, for one thing, you can't monitor the audio. So what we had to do was shoot a little video and then listen to the playback, just like in the old days, listen to the playback and make sure we were getting good audio. And then we shot the interview handheld. And it's interesting, Brenda, even with the iClip mounted on it and the hand grip and the wires and all that, this rig didn't intimidate people the way that the giant glass eye does. And what do you think that is?
Pretty unobtrusive. Well, the reason I think that is people are used to seeing smartphone cameras being used. And really, the lens on the thing is tiny, right? It's not very big, so it's not like having this big glass eyeball stare at you. It's a different thing. And so people don't really think of it as a camera, per se, like they do a traditional video camera. So they don't have this feeling or awareness that, oh, yeah, I'm on camera, you know. Yeah. And they kind of relax around it. It's kind of interesting. And even though the rig you were using is, you know, got a lot more stuff on it and everything, it's still kind of unobtrusive. It's not this big, massive thing. And I think the other part of it is that when you're using your smartphone as a camera like that, you don't have your eye glued up next to it or whatever. Mm-hmm. You still remain human, you know, if you will, and you're not hiding behind it quite as much. Yeah. And so, you know, people don't perceive it as being something that's a barrier or the third party in the group or something like that.
Now, a couple of issues, of course, using the iClip, and that's lowercase I, capital K-L-I-P, and then A/V. It's from I-K, India Kilo, for those of you who are into phonetics, multimedia. And the device costs you about $150. MSRP is $179. You can find it on Amazon for about $159, give or take a few dollars. It's very sturdy made. It has a little preamplifier built into the handle. And like I said, it can take a microphone signal from a wireless mic and route it into your phone. Which
gives you good audio.
It gives you great audio because the most suck thing about a lot of video shot with a smartphone is horrid audio and handling noise.
The audio is not good, right?
This, with this nice hand grip, for one thing, if you're trying to shoot a video with a camera phone, you're going to drop that sucker sooner or later. this lets you get it out. Now, the only quibble I have with it is that if you step out into the sunlight, it's almost impossible to see the screen. So maybe if you use one of these, you're going to want to make like a little cardboard hood or maybe some black plastic to make a little hood that would fit over the screen of the phone so that you can actually see what's going on. I wound up just using my hat.
So one would say, well, why don't you have the automatic brightness set on your phone?
Even if you're standing in full sunlight,
it's
cranked
hard
full
to
up,
see.
You still can't see your screen.
It's hard to see, yeah.
So about $179 MSRP, retails for about $159. The iClip AV, tested it today. It let me get some nice shots of some guys doing metal work. So I had to kind of keep my eyes around me without having to handle the big camera and peering through the eyepiece. And you can do this with an old iPhone, too. If you have an iPhone 5 or 6S, you can use it as a video camera. Now, some other ideas. Keep it around. All phones nowadays, even if
it's not connected to a phone service.
Even if it's not connected to a phone service, even if the SIM card is not in it, it will still have the ability to connect to 911 as long as there's a charge on the battery. That is by law.
Yep.
So even if the SIM card is disabled, you can still make a phone call to 911. So you can, if you have a portable SIM card in your new phone, you know, is dropped, run over, drops in the potty, whatever, you can probably fish your SIM card out, put it in your own phone, be back in business.
Yep. So other things you can do with it is add it to a multi-camera video shoot if you have that going on. There's things like weddings or your kid's birthday party or some, you know, anything. And there's some apps you can buy to help with that. Pretty much in terms of an iPhone, you have to have an iPhone 4S or newer for a lot of this stuff to work. The original iPhone probably not going to work as well. I don't think the operating system works so well there. There's a an app you can get for $4 called Collabracam.
Yeah, this looks real interesting.
And it links multiple iPhones or iPad cameras, up to six of them, to, you know, you can have them in different locations viewing an event. And they say it's pretty crazy, and you get kind of used to using this, and it's pretty neat. So that's worth checking out. They have an example here of, you know, different points of view on the same thing. So, you know, and then like the Rig Bob was talking about, that's for citizen journalism, or if you're doing, you know, some kind of webcast or whatever that involves that, then you can get a little more professional results with that. But even so, for the love of God, if you're taking video, do not move the camera around swiftly and all the time. But this Collabracam, you know, you can have the camera set in one place, or other people wandering around with it, I guess.
And of course, even if your phone is no longer being used as a phone, the other functions work, such as Siri. So you can actually connect your and even if the battery is pretty much shot and doesn't hold a charge for more than a couple of hours, you can put this thing on shore power, plug it in using the lightning connector to a constant power source, and pick up the audio video coming out of it. This will be a little harder with like an iPhone 7 that loses the headphone jack. You can pick up your audio off the headphone jack, feed it into your sound system, and then use the microphone to use it as sort of a poor man's Amazon Echo.
Yep.
How about that?
Well, and there's a lot of bedside functions that you might be interested in. You can leave it on your nightstand, which is what I use mine for. Actually, I only use the alarm features, but there are apps you can get that we'll set it up as a bedside clock, an alarm clock. That's pretty straightforward. You can use it as a clock radio, like TuneIn Radio is a good choice with that. It has I believe there's an app for that.
TuneIn Radio, where Boomer Tech Radio is among the shows hosted.
Yep. Dedicated e-reader and meditation player, Buddhify, I think, but Buddhify. Yeah, I think it's Buddhify. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But there's a zillion others. It says you can use it as a spare remote, a white noise machine. There's probably other things that can be used for. So there's a lot of applications.
It is a little programmable computer.
Exactly.
That sits in your pocket.
So even though it's you know, maybe outdated that way, there's a lot of life left in it. It does, just because you can't use the phone part of it doesn't mean that it's not a powerful little device that could be handy to do all sorts of things.
All right. So you can talk to your phone and it will do things. Of course, the big smash hit product from last year was the Amazon Echo.
Right.
Big, big smash. And they brought it out without a lot of fanfare. And I think they were testing to see, we've come up with this idea, will it catch on with the public? Well, boy, howdy did it, because at CES this year, a lot of product lines had some form of Amazon Echo integration. And now Google Home is coming out.
The same kind of idea.
Correct. But who can, you know, if you're kind of a propeller head geek, nerd fest, science fiction fan, and you watch Star Trek The Next Generation.
Who hasn't ever wanted to say,
computer, T, Earl Grey, halt. And it would do it.
And the replicator would produce it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the way you want it. Wouldn't that be nice?
It would. Well,
kids everywhere would love this. They'd have mac and cheese and breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Absolutely. So replicators are still a ways down the way, although we're getting food 3D
printers.
We
have 3D printers that print food.
Yeah. So we're getting now supposedly there's a 3D printed pizza, but it's, you know, a little dodgy looking.
Well, I don't know. You know, what are the, it's real food, but they have to have it in, you know, the squeeze bag of tomato sauce and things like that. It doesn't sound terribly appealing.
The squeeze pepperoni is a little, Anyway.
A paste of pepperoni.
But anyway,
tube.
Even the original Star Trek had the bridge computer that you would talk to to tell it to do certain things. And that sort of, and, you know, Michel Barrett is the voice of the computer on Next Generation. They tried several different, the original Star Trek computer
wasn't
voice.
Was it Majel?
Majel Barrett, was very robotic sounding. Well, now, of course, Alexa and Siri and now, I don't know, Google now doesn't really have a name per se.
No, although, you just go, hey, Google.
Yeah, hey, Google.
Sorry if we set everything off.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Yeah, no, we're not. We have fun doing that. Google, Google. Siri.
You're bad.
You're teaching a class where several people have iPhones, and...
Yeah, I said Sierra, and it took it for Siri, and it said, I didn't quite catch that, and I set one off yesterday, and it wasn't even anything close. But everybody laughs when it happens, because like, oops. But now you can...
You can rename... your Amazon Echo and have it respond to the word computer. Do you remember the Star Trek
Journey Home.
Yeah, the Journey Home, Star Trek 5. And there's a scene where they need to make a tank to put whales in. Go see the movie. James Doohan.
Maybe it is four.
Yeah. James Doohan goes to this plastics manufacturer.
Scotty.
Yeah, Scotty wants to give him some specifications, and the guy says, well, just put what you need here in the computer. And Scotty walks over and goes, computer? And the guy says, no, use the mouse. So Scotty picks up the
mouse like a microphone.
Computer! It's a great scene.
And it doesn't work, and then he says, oh, a keyboard. How quaint.
Yeah. So
that's fabulous.
At the time that The Voyage Home came out, we all laughed because at that point in time, voice interface systems really sucked.
Well, they were pretty much non-existent.
Yeah. Now we have voice command systems that are very, very close to... being able to respond in real time with extremely high levels of accuracy.
You know, talking to the computer could be both good and bad, because if you call it bad names and things like that, you know, it recognize what you're saying more. Instead, you can't, you know, it's no longer this earless, unresponsive thing to voice. It now will respond to voice commands.
And once again, to the best of my knowledge and what I hear, your phone and your Echo and your Samsung TV and your whatever operates on a voice interface
is not
sending your every utterance off to the NSA.
No,
In theory, it could.
We have celebrities.
Who gives a damn what I say?
We have celebrities that are making threats against public officials to keep them occupied with that.
On national TV.
Yeah. So they're not worried about what I say.
They aren't, you know. Are there privacy concerns? And this is something that in the the tech sector is making me nuts right now. How to protect yourself in the Trump world. Really? Seriously?
Leave the word Trump out.
Leave the Trump out. Leave the word Trump out.
How to protect yourself in the world, period.
Yeah.
That's part of...
Increased surveillance would be a matter of life, no matter who is in the White House. I don't care who's in the White House. We still need to be responsive to our personal information.
Absolutely.
Just because a certain candidate says we don't do that. A politician has never lied of either party? Come on. Give me a break. You know, don't turn
It's like that, have a little common sense.
Don't turn a technical concern into your personal political nonsensicalness. That'll work.
Bad science.
It is bad science. Well, that's all the time we have for this hour of Boomer Tech Radio. I want to say thank you very much. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. Back with another hour.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Want to come to America?
I'm establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States of America. We don't want them here.
Speaking to military commanders and Pentagon officials, the president said the measures are designed to keep, quote, radical Islamic terrorists out.
We only want to admit those into our country who will support our country and love deeply our people.
Two United Nations agencies are treading cautiously in their response to the order. The International Organization for Migration and the UN High Commissioner for Refugees say they hope the U.S. will continue their strong leadership role in long tradition of protecting those who are fleeing conflict and persecution. It's been a week since Donald Trump was inaugurated, and White House correspondent Greg Clugston tells us it's been a week full of action, surprises, and more of the same.
The president hit the ground running with executive actions on trade, Obamacare, immigration, abortion, and the Mexico border wall. He held West Wing meetings with CEOs, union workers, and the British prime minister. Mr. Trump stoked controversy with claims about the size of his inauguration crowd and complaints about voter fraud in the election. And he remained active on Twitter, commenting on issues from Chicago violence to the stock market to the March for Life. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Speaking of the march, thousands turned out for the 44th annual March for Life, and the first time a sitting vice president spoke to the group. Mike Pence telling the crowd that pro-life movement is gaining momentum.
In marches like this all across the nation, life is winning again in America.
At the Australian Open, Serena Williams wins her 23rd Grand Slam, beating sister Venus. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hugh Hewitt here for Relief Factor. I encourage you to give it a try. It's all about getting rid of the inflammation in your body. If you're tired of having your back just ache and ache, your ankles do the same, your toes throb, your knees rebel, then you need to go to ReliefFactor.com right now and give it a try. It is nature's pharmacy, packaged in an easy-to-use group of supplements that make all the difference in the world. Put down the Aleve, put down the ibuprofen, pick up ReliefFactor.com. Nature's got an apothecary of everything you need to fight inflammation. Don't take those over the counters. They're bad for you. You can't take them every single day. You can, however, take ReliefFactor.com. You'll find detailed product information at ReliefFactor.com, and you get your first order at $19.95. Watch and look at all of the listener testimonials that have come in. ReliefFactor.com wants you to give it a try. Learn more about the product and their three-week quick start for just $19.95. And come one day closer to inflammation-free living. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Prominent Mexicans are urging the government to prepare a robust response to the proposals of President Trump to hit back against plans to build a border wall and tax American goods to pay for it. James Blears reports anger is palpably rising.
Former Mexican President Felipe Calderon urges we have to put U.S. security issues under review, including the presence of U.S. agents on Mexican soil. Billionaire Carlos Slim suggesting a program substituting imported products and proposing a Buy Mexican campaign. Presidents Enrique Peña Nieto and Donald Trump have spoken on the phone, describing their chat as constructive and productive. President Trump now says, I respect Mexico and I love Mexican people. The damage is already done and no one south of the soon-to-be-fortified border believes him. James Blears, Mexico.
The versatile actor Sir John Hurt died in London from pancreatic cancer. He was 77. More on these stories at townhall.com. Federal safety officials say both maintenance workers killed by an Amtrak train in April near Philadelphia were on drugs when the crash happened.
Toxicology reports show the backhoe operator had cocaine in his system. His supervisor tested positive for morphine, codeine, and oxycodone. The workers were struck by the train traveling at 100 miles per hour while they were performing maintenance work along the tracks. The train's engineer tested positive for marijuana.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. An overnight fire has destroyed a Texas mosque that was the target of hatred several years ago and experienced a burglary just a week ago. The fire marshal in Victoria, 115 miles southwest of Houston, asking for help now from the Texas Fire Marshal's Office as well as the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in their investigation. More news, more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Hello once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, the tech news that you can use. Brought to you by Advanced Automotive. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. You heard their ad. If you're listening on KCNR just before the show starts, they are excellent people.
And you can check up on them on RepairPal.com.
Okay, a couple of weeks ago. Now, you have a friend whose Windows, Brenda, you have a friend whose Windows 10 computer is...
misbehaving.
Has turned into a doorstop.
To some extent, because it keeps saying it can't find an IP address.
Right.
And they're connecting to the web via a hotspot, so in order to do that, you need Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happened to my laptop, where it would not connect, and my fabulous husband and the host of this show is pretty skookum at sleuthing things out online, and he found out, it is probably the fact that an attempted update, didn't complete or something?
It didn't complete. An attempted update did not go all the way through, and the Wi-Fi is borked.
Right. It's just not working.
Yeah. So if the Wi-Fi isn't going through the connection process,
then it won't finish the
update.
The
system is waiting to get the Wi-Fi connection for the update, so it just goes into the endless loop.
Right. It spins its wheel.
This seems to be a fairly common problem, and Microsoft isn't talking a lot about it. So what can you do? Take the computer and set it down next to your router. Get an Ethernet cable, plug one end into the router, plug the other end into the computer, and turn it on and walk away, because this is going to take a while. Most of the time, what's going to happen is that it will, if you have a hardware switch for your Wi-Fi, turn that off. So Windows will have no choice but to go to the hardwired connection and finish downloading the updates, do a reboot, and see if that cleared the problem. Because we discovered something listening to another program. When you take your machine to a repair shop, whether it be the Geek Squad, whether it be the corner store, they don't really troubleshoot it anymore. What do? They reinstall the operating system.
Yep, we have a friend that even when you call Apple for help or whatever, it's not unusual for them to essentially wipe your stuff clean. So this is
if you
one of the big arguments.
Up.
Exactly. This is one of the big arguments we have about make sure you back up your device on a regular basis if you know, you, but at a minimum, before you do anything like this, because chances are they're going to wipe it clean and reload everything, and then, you know, oh, problem solved. Well, it may or may not solve the problem, first of all. But second of all, you lose all your stuff, all your photos, all the videos, all that. And that's just one good thing about having
and programs
things,
that you may
yes,
have paid for.
Exactly.
And now you have to search down the install keys. Yep. If you have the disks, fine. But if you downloaded it,
right.
If you didn't keep your install key, which
right.
is a code you type in.
Exactly.
You're SOL.
Yep. The company is not going to help you sleuth that out.
Yeah.
So these are all things, you know, it's like, gosh, these devices, there's so much to know. And there's complicated things like this thing you don't think about. You know, you go merrily along. You just want to be a user. You know, you don't want to be a maintainer. Well, it's a little bit like owning a home. You know, once you get a hold of this device, now there's maintenance you have to do. And there's going to be repairs, and there's going to be things where you got to look up, you know, when that was done, what's that for, and have the documentation on it. And it's kind of a real pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But
so when you know, if and we have had this on a couple of occasions, and I know that you want to just throw things when you go to power on your computer and it immediately slides into an update.
Yeah, I want to use the computer now. I don't want to wait for your, you know, this is a general comment to Microsoft. I don't want to wait for your determination that this is when I'm going to get an update. Really annoying.
Yeah. Now, Microsoft says it's in your best interest to have all the latest and greatest updates, security patches,
well,
things like that.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you can do a couple of things to kind of minimize the impact. You can do what's called active hours. Now, you go into your start menu, click Windows Update, and then select Change Active Hours under Update Settings. It says automatic updates will only be applied at such and such a time. And you can, if you have a mobile device with an LTE connection, you can actually say, don't be applying updates when I'm out and about. You know, wait until I'm on a Wi-Fi or my home connection.
Right. So you can say, the thing about active hours is that you can set a 12-hour, up to a 12-hour window that says to Windows 10, okay, don't try to update in this time frame.
Yeah.
After that, it's okay. Or not those hours, it's okay.
Yeah, so if you have active hours set, but if you need the PC to apply an update anyway, you can apply a one-time restart.
This brings up the point of where the biggest complaint probably about Windows 10, I think, is that it just updates whenever.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's always inopportune. So, of course it's inopportune. It's not what, you know, whatever you're doing in the middle, and it decides it's going to do an update in the middle. And so this just proves that people want control over when they're going to get these updates and when they have time. And a very bad idea on the part of Microsoft to say, oh, you don't need that. We're just going to do it whenever. You know, we're going to do this for you. I don't want that. And I didn't think it was a great idea when it first came out that that's what they were planning. So, but they haven't changed the program to make it different. So people are finding workarounds.
Yeah. So if your computer is starting to misbehave, and by the way, let me repeat something that I have said 100 times on this show. It's now 101. Microsoft will not call you at home ever. Was that pretty? Yeah.
To give you an update?
Yeah. Yeah. To fix your computer.
I got one on my... was it the work phone or the cell phone? I don't remember. But anyway, it was one of these where you answer the phone and there's this pause and you go, hello. Well, that's, you know, as soon as they know the computer knows there's a voice there, then they'll connect you to a technician.
Yeah.
And the person on the other said, this is, you know, something from, you know, Windows Repair or something like that. And I just started laughing. I said, seriously? Are you, you know, take your con somewhere else. And I got hung up halfway through that thing because they knew that I was on to them.
Yeah.
And so next time I'm going to have to play it a little more fun and say, oh, my gosh, seriously? Oh, I had no idea. And just play them.
Yeah.
You know, have a little bit of fun with it. And then when you got them on the hook a little bit, you can say, you know what? Why don't you take your con and go somewhere else? You should be ashamed of yourself. And they don't know what to do with these things somewhat. Yeah,
give them a massive brain fart.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you are calling for technical support and you want to wait through that 3.5 hours of terrible music on the phone, you can. One of the things you're going to want to have in hand on information about your computer, and you'll impress the service people when you do this, your computer on your network has a name. Yes, your computer has its very own secret name. So if you want to, and this was usually specified, now it may have had a default name that it just picked because you're flipping through all this stuff and you check off the, user agreement that nobody ever actually reads because only a lawyer can read and understand it. If you click on the start button and in the pop-up menu click on system, you will see the system menu. It will display basic information about your computer, including the Windows edition, what processor you have, the amount of system memory, whether you're running 64 or 32-bit operating system, and the name of the computer. Note that the full computer name, which is only relevant in a corporate-type network, will include the domain name. So that's information that you really want to have at hand when you call the person for tech support.
If you are used to calling a tech support site for your workplace and whatever, you may be very familiar with this because I've known this for a long time because I've had to do it, enough times. Now, actually, in my particular workplace, they have a sticker on the computer that says what the computer name is, so I don't have to look it up.
So when you go to gift your computer to say you've gotten a new computer and your old one's just sitting there, you don't want to just take it as is and put it into a garage sale or take it down to the thrift store.
Absolutely not.
Because there is still personal identification information, PII, that is on that computer. And completely wiping the hard drive, that means that the next person is getting a doorstop. With Windows 10, you can do a complete reset to make sure that apps, settings, files, event history, and other personal information is gone so that the next person, it behaves like a computer fresh out of the box. Or this may be a nuclear option if you've got a problem that just won't go away. You've got a reset rather than having to, get out the install, which you don't have install disks anymore.
Nope.
So
I'm wondering if somebody's really good at, the hacker types, can they get in and get those old files? It used to be, you have to wipe things off, and deleting a file doesn't get rid of it in there.
The drive. What it does is that it, of course, erases, it pulls out the index cards that the operating system uses to find those files. A forensic examination could still recover the files. So if you're really paranoid, there's a what's called bit scrubber, which is a USB key that you can plug in, and it will ask you about six times to make sure that it will go through and write ones and zeros at random all over your hard drive over and over until it just buries the data completely. But this is for if you're not expecting this to fall into the hands of Russian spies or something, you can go to settings. Update and Security Recovery, and under Reset This PC, you actually have to go through four distinct steps. It's kind of like,
Are you sure?
It's kind of like launching the self-destruct.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because you're, and it tells you aren't going to get your stuff back.
Yep.
You can select, and there's different levels of this. You can keep your files. If you remove all files, you can wipe the empty space so that they can't be recovered with disk utility software. After making these choices, click the reset button, and then you get asked one more time, are you sure? So there you go. There's your chance to, if you're re-gifting the computer, or maybe you got a better one, or maybe it's just time to step up to something new, because a lot of this hardware is going to, you know, last quite a bit longer.
Right.
So how about, how many of us have seen some poor person using a phone with a cracked screen?
No, I've seen that a number
really
of times.
Sucks, you know.
Well, they may not find.
By the way, shout out to a company that gave us free stuff. We love it when companies give us free stuff, by the way. But we're not just saying this because we got the free stuff, because we didn't make an agreement with these guys that we would talk about it. We just tried out these cases, and we're really happy with them. They are UAG, Urban Armor Gear. And their case for the Samsung Galaxy S7 is better than our OtterBox cases by far, in my opinion. How about you?
Well, we didn't have to qualify that because OtterBox has, you know, some pretty robust cases that are rugged, but they're thick. And we had there was one step below the commuter series in OtterBox, so it was not designed, you know, the really heavy duty OtterBox one, which is pretty protective. You can't beat that. Particularly, but it's bulky.
Yeah.
And definitely for the same class of case, this is way hands down better than the OtterBoxes that we had. There's more space if your phone falls screen down. It has a bigger lip to hold your screen.
It has a nice lip around the edge to protect the screen.
And it's thin, but grippy and fits in your pocket easily. We're pretty impressed with their stuff. They have some really amazing colors, so you can find your case. And they don't do just phones. They do tablets, and they have all kinds of stuff.
I'm really thinking about the 12, because there's really no cases for a 12-inch iPad, because it hasn't really sold a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. They have one, though.
Yeah, they have a really nice one that actually has a clip on it for the Apple Pencil.
There you go. Yeah.
So it can either be a kickstand to use it in either landscape or portrait mode. Now, I'm using Logipro snap-in keyboard that attaches, for those of you who've looked at the iPad Pro, it has a connector on the side. Rather than going through Bluetooth, there's a little magnetic connector that powers the keyboard. And Apple's Magic Keyboard is kind of, you know, it looks really nice, but it gets dirty and real easy. And it's slippery. I don't like the Magic Keyboard that Apple comes with. The Logitech keyboard is kind of a fabric feel to it, and it's done a pretty good job of protecting my iPad. And it has little rubber bumpers so that the face of the keyboard isn't touching the keys, and that's a big problem with some of these designs.
Yep, like your old Samsung Galaxy tablet.
Yeah, it touches the...
So it scratches the cover or the screen itself. If you have a screen protector, it'll scratch that. If you have just the screen, it'll scratch that.
Okay, you told me, and I forgot, how is the company name X-A-I-O-M-I pronounced? You looked it up, actually.
I did.
I thought you'd remember. I forget all this stuff. This is why I hired
you. Something mean. So there's Huawei, but that's the one that starts with an H, right?
Yeah.
And
is it a Z sound?
Xiaomi or something that. Yeah. I forget.
Anyway, these guys, we'll get the correct pronunciation. X-A-O-M-A-I has X-A-I-O-M-I. They have come up with, and they said it couldn't be done, but they have an LCD screen that actually can be flexed, because LCD screens up until now are glass panels with the liquid crystals sandwiched between two thin layers of glass, and they're fairly delicate. Now, things like Corning Gorilla Glass, which is pretty tough, up to the point where it actually breaks, are good, but if you apply enough force to these things, the glass will shatter. These new LCD displays are actually quite flexible, and this is a supplier to Apple. The ActiveFlex LCD screen uses a plastic substrate instead of glass, which allows it to be bent easily and will keep it from being damaged. So that's something that's kind of cool. Also, these new displays can run at a lower refresh rate. So if you're not watching video, lowering the refresh rate
actually lets you use a lot less power because the screen isn't having to be rewritten. It'll rewrite it 15 times per second instead of 60 times per second. So that's kind of a nice feature. Amazon is dropping, according to Business Daily, Amazon is dropping the Fire Essentials bundle to the lowest price ever. Amazon Fire, of course, it gives you quite a bit of bang for the buck. It's not a if you're doing just reading and surfing and a little bit of game and this and that, hard to beat the Amazon Fire tablet. Hundreds of dollars less than an iPad, you can get the 8 gigabyte Fire Essentials bundle or the 16 gigabyte bundle for $70. So it's $50 for the 8 gigabyte, $16 for the $70 for the 16 gigabyte. This is the 7-inch tablet, a case, micro SD slot, and if you are a Prime member, you get, of course, unlimited access to huge selections of books, songs, videos, and more. So,
by the way, AXIAOMI is pronounced Xiaomi.
Xiaomi, okay. You get the in the bundle, you get the Amazon cover and a screen protector. The code FIRE bundle is effective through Saturday, February the 4th. So if you've been waiting to treat yourself for a post-holiday gift, hard to go wrong with the if you can only carry around one thing with you, I definitely recommend the Amazon Fire.
It performs quite well as a, you know, small, portable, lightweight, do-it-all kind of device.
Now,
I think I need to charge mine. I haven't been in it in a while.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, mine has been sitting, but I've got some. Now that I'm leaving Facebook behind, or at least cutting my Facebook exposure down by a considerable amount, I'll be looking at my Kindle a bit more and reading books. And I know, we tried to get my mom to pick up a tablet and use it instead of a pile of books. Nope, not happening. And I know people want the paper books. But if you're traveling,
or you go through a lot of books.
Yeah, if you go through books the way I can go through books, a tablet makes a whole lot more sense. Yes, the feel of the paper, I get that.
And there's no batteries.
Yeah.
That part has advantages.
And no batteries and yada, yada, yada.
But when you're traveling, you don't have to have pack all that bulk
hard
with you.
To beat.
It is. Indeed it is.
Yeah. So if you use a tablet, of course, rather than a laptop, let's face it, average battery life on a tablet-type device like my iPad, I get probably 10, 12 hours if I'm just doing a little bit of this. If we're running playing back podcasts off of the iPad,
oh my gosh,
it'll run hours and hours and hours and hours because just pushing out audio through the Bluetooth connection because the display isn't turned on runs forever. So the apps include, you know, of course, Netflix, spreadsheets. The iPad is really a good all-round value, and it has a very powerful processor. The Pro, of course, comes in 12.9 and 9.7 inch. Because I have old eyes, I opted for the 12 inch. Because I tend to fat finger stuff on small screens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as I record the show, I have my iPad and my MacBook Pro next to each other. And Brenda should keep a counter in her pocket for the number of times I reach out and tap the screen of the MacBook Pro.
Oh, that is so
frustrating.
And
then I get mad because nothing happens.
Right, because the way that we have tablets set up with a keyboard on it, it looks like a laptop. So when you open your laptop, you want to touch the screen because that's what you're used to doing on the tablet. Oh, I know. It is so funny how the brain works.
If you're going to get an iPad Pro, the smaller size is more versatile. If you've got the screen space, you're going to want to go with the 13-inch, 12.9. If you can get the LTE connection, which we got from Verizon at a pretty decent price, and a very generous data plan, go for that because that means now you can I take this thing to the gym with me, and I prop it up on the exercise bike and watch TV while I exercise. And trust me, it makes that hour go by and nothing flat. Have a pair of Bluetooth headphones work with it. In order to get the most out of your tablet, you want to get one of these keyboards. Like I use the Logitech Pro. The Magic Keyboard is not a bad one. But there's others on the market, too, that really give you a full laptop experience using the using a tablet. And with Google Docs and other sorts of cloud-based applications, you can do pretty much everything you can do on your laptop using an iPad-type device.
It's quite versatile.
It is. Boomer Tech Radio, Bob and Brenda, bottom of the hour break coming up. More after this.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Must be Budget Blinds, because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more. To transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blinds, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered in.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today. 226-9027 or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600 or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
This is your life, good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Sheese, Brenda. The tech news you can use, and I want to say thank you to George Wood. Who's George Wood? He's the guy who composed our little 8-bit tune. Sounds kind of like an old Atari-o video game. Amazing what you can do with, what is about 4 notes. but he put some little synth behind it, and it has become the theme for this show for 7 full years. How about that? A study out, here's a shocker, that using Facebook too much, and if you listen to the first hour of the show, you know that we are kind of not boycotting. No. I would not say boycott.
Stepping back.
We are stepping away from Facebook. A study says Facebook can actually make us more narrow-minded.
Now, that seems counterintuitive because, you know, social media seems like it has the boundless potential to really, you know, give you broad perspective.
Horizon. We're more connected than ever.
Right.
This is no less than the National Academy of Sciences. These guys tend to know what they're talking about. They use data modeling. A team of researchers mapped the spread of two types of content, conspiracy theories and scientific information. Findings show that users tend to select and share content related to a specific narrative and then ignore the rest. And this has been my beef with Facebook. The polarization has reached a point where I just can't do it anymore. Yeah. I just, you know, I consider myself a reasonably rational person, and I have to go enough. And I'm thinking, I'm predicting, a lot of people are going to do that. I'm predicting Facebook's numbers are going to plummet.
It's sort of
this
like
year. I think this is the year.
Maybe so. It's sort of like having an acquaintance that is really kind of toxic or overly dramatic and sucks you into that vortex, and you just say, wait a minute, I'm in control of my exposure here, so I'm going to disconnect from this and say, no, that doesn't work for me. So if we see, you know, this has been very plain to me lately on Facebook, is that if you see something that validates your own, corroborates your own ideas, that you're going to share that. And so this is part of where we get into this narrow point of view that, you know, here, look, see, here's evidence that proves what I think.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's the part about it that really bothers me. So, how do you get, you know, there can be misinformation spread that way as
the
well.
The instant spread of disseminate of misinformation. And this is the scary thing behind Periscope and Facebook Live, is that I predict, and I hope I'm wrong, really, please, I hope I'm wrong, I predict that there will be a staged incident involving law enforcement that is broadcast over Facebook Live or Periscope for the sole reason of inciting riots. And by the time the dust settles and cooler heads prevail, a lot of people will have gotten hurt.
Well, it's like that fake news thing that came out about how the White House had been bombed or something like that.
That was a faked tweet, and the Dow dropped.
Responded immediately, automatically.
Yeah, because there are computers that just this kind read the news.
So what do you do about it? Well, basically, you can either just tune these things out, or you know, you have to do some homework and say, well, how true is that, right? Do some fact-checking, particularly soul-searching about sending things on. As we've said before, the things that you post online are there forever. Even if you retweet, repost, redo whatever, anything that is kind of contributes to that confirmation bias that we all have. Mm-hmm. We're all going to hang with people who think like we do or have
exactly.
the same
that's human
sensibilities. Nature. That's human. That's a human experience. That's human. It's what we do, right? Do you really want to be attached to that the rest of your life? And that's another thing, is how you're behaving online. An extension of this is how you're behaving online is representative of who you are as well. So, for instance, if someone's having a temper tantrum online, is that something you really want to stick with you and reflect who you are? Or, you know, we all have our temper tantrums because we're human. Mm-hmm. We all have bad moments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And these things can be taken out of context, too. So that you have to be very careful about that.
Yeah. And just think before you post, you know. And like I said, I recommend just a Facebook-free day. Sorry, Zuckerberg. This will probably make you stop.
Speaking
of which, and
we have all kinds
of
the Great American Facebook out.
Yeah. three men in Sweden have been placed under arrest after one of them did a Facebook Live video. This may be disturbing to some folks, of a gang rape. It was posted online in a private room. The apparent assault took place in a town about an hour north of Stockholm, has shocked folks up there in the Nordic country. The three men were born between 1992 and 1998, and the alleged victim born in 1998. The broadcast is the latest graphic video to bring into focus complex ethical and policy issues faced by Facebook Live and others. And like I said, how long before a staged incident? But this, what was this guy thinking about?
Well, it's
I mean, to do such a heinous act in the first case means that he ain't right in the head.
Right. That when was this ever – this is never okay. It's have such blatant disregard for how bad this is. Now, granted, that's a social thing, but still, you don't treat people like that.
Yeah.
I don't care where you are in the world or how it is. That, to me, just isn't right.
So with great power comes great responsibility, and I think that we are showing that maybe there are those of us who don't have the responsibility. So on a brighter note, we've been kind of, gleefully enjoying things Star Trek, including a voice-activated thing that responds to a computer. How about the Australians? You don't think of big tech breakthroughs in Australia. You know, what do they know about beer shrimp on the Barbie?
Well, that's the stereotype.
A didgeridoo. A great opera house.
Didgeridoo,
yeah. A team of physicists from Australia National University has invented a tiny device using infrared light to create the highest quality holographic images ever achieved. This is opening the door to imaging technologies like we have seen in science fiction movies. Hello, yep. It is a special effect. We can't do that. Tony Stark, his display that is floating in midair and he waves his hands around, doesn't exist yet. You can simulate something like that by using a HoloLens, which is not really a holographic device, but in fact it is overlaying something on top of what you're looking at. But as far as a 3D hologram that you can actually look at as a group, we're not there yet. because it has to have something to project on. But this actually, the quote from the article on ZDNet is that research in holography plays an important role in development of futuristic displays and augmented reality devices. This is a the device actually consists of millions of tiny silicon pillars, each 500 times thinner than a human hair. So it is actually a solid surface on which to project these images.
Exactly. So it is still a projector screen concept, but it is a little bit different. And there's size and energy consumption that's involved in this. In other words, you can have some fairly small components, and they don't use a lot of energy. And one of the applications that they're hoping to use this for is in spacecraft to, you know, reduce weight, reduce size of things, reduce energy consumption, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've all been waiting, you know, we've been waiting for quite a while for virtual reality to actually hit the mainstream, and it's still not quite there. That's the consensus we're hearing from experts who know a lot more than we do in these fields. It's promising. We're inching along, but we haven't hit the Lawnmower Man yet, which is the 1987 movie about a virtual reality world. We still haven't gotten there. Social networking via virtual reality. The closest we come up until now is Second Life, which of course is experienced through a screen. And Second Life was for a time working with the Oculus Rift people, wanting to produce a next-generation Second Life online virtual world that you would experience in 3D. It became known as Project Sansar, but it has sort of, now that Oculus is owned by Facebook, it's kind of gone into the background. Now, there are Oculus rooms in virtual reality, and looking at the picture, I can tell you this looks like, you know, just the quality of the 2D image. This looks like Facebook 10 years ago. This looks like Second Life 10 years ago in terms of the image quality. So I'm going to go way out on a limb here and predict something. I'm betting that Facebook acquires Second Life in the next 2 years, if not sooner.
That'd be interesting.
That would give them access to a user base and to some very good technology.
But you also said that Facebook will be dead in 3 years, so that doesn't make a lot of sense.
They have to do something
as they exist,
as we know, mm-hmm. and not love them.
Not always fully appreciative.
Yeah.
Lawnmower Man, the movie, by the way, was released in 1992.
Okay. I thought it was earlier than that. Great. But look how far the graphics have come. If you look at that great movie with Matt Frewer and Pierce Brosnan. It's based on a Stephen King novel where a mentally disabled young man is made super intelligent through the use of artificial intelligence. He interfaces with the computer, eventually is taken into the computer and becomes an artificial entity. It takes over the world and announces himself by ringing every telephone in the world. This is, of course, before cell phones really caught on. So.
Well, even if it was landlines, you can still do it with cell phones. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how the Oculus VR world grows. And like I said, I would not be surprised if Facebook did not acquire Second Life.
It
may ruin it, but it's quite possible.
It's kind of a logical progression to add some depth of experience for the user. Add some depth to the user experience. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. To Facebook to upgrade it, make it the next thing, you know, they got to have, or the next stage or whatever. Whatever it is they do, they'll do it without your knowledge or permission or, you know, whatever.
Sadly.
Yeah. It'll just one day you'll get on there and, oh, it's all new. That's what they do.
A few more headlines from the tech news that you can use. Netflix is going to let users of Android devices, and this is a biggie, download movies and shows onto their SD card storage. Because up until now, it was in your device's regular memory.
Right.
The idea being that they didn't want to put it onto removable storage because,
right. Maybe you might pirate it or something.
You might pirate it.
Right.
Well, the encryptions have reached the point where it's pretty difficult to, it will only play back on that device. So a new update on Netflix is going to let you store movies onto your SD card so you can actually, if you're going on the road and you won't have streaming connectivity.
Doesn't take up all your brain space.
And the movies will have a definitely, you know, like a, once you start moving,
start watching the movie,
right. You'll have 48 hours. Now, Amazon already does this.
Yeah, I was going to say that's already been in place for some.
So because some of us, by golly, do end up in places where we don't have good internet. It happens.
Yep.
And the idea that you'll always be connected because you'll always be in an urban environment, well, that's not quite true. Google Translate.
Well, if you go international, you may not have internet access because you don't want to pay for it.
Correct. Article from Android Police says that an official announcement has been made that Google Translate, which is a neat little application, adds instant camera Japanese to English translation. So if you are traveling in Japan and you see these signs with, what is it, kanji?
Well, there's hiragana and there's katakana. No, wait a minute. Kanji and I want to say katakana, something like that. I'm really bad at that. But anyway, you have the characters.
Yeah.
They're symbols, not letters.
Pictograms.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And, you know, for a Westerner, they're quite mysterious.
Yeah.
And even when you study Japanese as a Japanese person, getting to college-level vocabulary and their language written is a challenge.
A keyboard to operate in Japanese is extremely complex.
How does that work?
Yeah, I guess it works almost phonetically. I don't know. I have to look that up.
Yeah.
How does a Japanese keyboard work? Because you've got, what, 1,500 symbols or something that are combined?
Probably more than that. Yeah, and then it's all about context. It is very complex.
Yeah.
Although I was told by a Japanese person one time they can read Chinese, but Chinese can't read Japanese.
Interesting.
I don't know about that.
This new update to Google Translate, though, will let you point your camera at a sign in Japanese, and it will read out on your screen in English. Other language you choose.
Well, there were other – yeah, that's been true for other languages, but just perhaps not those or Japanese specifically because of the symbology on it. Think about how that works, though. That's pretty awesome. Yep.
One of three men convicted of hacking the electronic accounts of celebrities like Jennifer Lawrence and Kate Upton – which led to a massive leak of private information and nude photographs, was sentenced to 9 months in prison. So why is it if you're – now, the availability of being able to snap a very revealing selfie, I guess, is that – I guess for some people that's just human nature. That's a vanity thing. But having this stuff on your phone means – especially if you have cloud backup.
Oh, yes.
It's out there. And I'm sorry, folks, but if you snap pictures of yourself, as a certain congressman discovered, you don't control where that goes, and it can cost you your career.
So, there's kanji, hiragana, and katakana.
Mm-hmm.
And according to one thing here, how those keyboards work is that the characters can be typed in by entering the romanized pronunciations, romaji, I guess they say, in the Latin alphabet, which is how we would see Japanese words as turned into Roman letters, such as the word katakana. So that's interesting. So they have to learn how to spell all of that in Roman letters?
Hmm.
I don't know. I'd have to investigate this a little bit more. But anyway.
I had somebody who I was telling about a sim on Second Life, and the farewell message was sent in characters, which I looked at that, and I copied the text, pasted it into a Google page, and got a
translation.
A translation, which was good night.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, how cool is that to be? Because trying to look it up on paper.
Oh.
I couldn't tell one of those characters from another.
They are somewhat mysterious. I've drawn a few of those, and I've got 1, 2, and 3 down, and beyond that, that's all I remember. Yeah. 1, 2, and 3 is easy. But, oh my gosh, yeah, really crazy, and it's definitely, you know, quite foreign to us to use words like that.
Now, we look at a lot of these new
words like
new technologies like VR, the HoloLens, and things like that, and we say, it'll never catch on, right?
Oh, I don't know. I would say that.
33 years ago, the Apple Macintosh debuted, was the first computer to bring graphical user interface to the masses. Now, GUI-based computers had been tried out before from Xerox. They actually had the initial patents on that, but they let it go because nobody will want to use this thing.
Yeah. In other words, it was thought that the graphical interface was not going to be successful. Yeah.
The system was called PARC. Steve Jobs saw the future of personal computing the lab there at Xerox. Others saw what they considered to be a cartoonish fad. They didn't think that a computer that operated on icons rather than command line was a serious tool. It would never be more than just a hobby toy type thing. That the mouse was, if somehow the mouse was silly.
Well, go back to Ford. If he'd built what the people had wanted or he thought they wanted, he'd have built him a better horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to give Apple credit there for saying, you know, no, really, you need this. Mm-hmm. And people just weren't used to it. Again, a solution to a problem they didn't know they had.
Tech writer Chris Goyens, back in the 1980s, bemoaned the proliferation of graphic user interfaces, saying that it was a pop culture thing, icon mania. He called GUI's mixed blessing. He said it wasn't much of a game because with word processing, it made next to no difference at all because he was thinking strictly in terms of text. Nowadays, text is just a fraction of what we do on our phone. Texting is still popular, but to actually operate, can you imagine operating a smartphone using a command line interface?
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Think DOS,
yeah.
Right?
Then the whole idea of having computers that did everything in color was also dismissed as, you know, just a kid's toy. You know, not for the serious,
computer
serious
geek. Yeah. Bit of elitism there. It's like, from the point of view, is that's silly. That's baby. That's, you know, too simple.
Resistance
that doesn't
to new ideas.
Yeah. Interesting.
Just as people are freaking out about self-driving cars. And I'm going to bring up this analogy again. People are saying, oh, my God, they will malfunction. There will be carnage on the roads. Guess what, boys and girls?
We
there's
have that
already
now.
Carnage on the roads because of drunk drivers, intoxicated drivers, and drivers not paying attention.
Or mechanical failures or whatever.
Stuff will break. In the early 20th century, as automobiles first began to proliferate, the state of New York passed a law that required that an automobile had a person, a man walking in front of it, ringing a bell and waving a light to warn people that the car was coming behind it. Because nobody believed that automobiles would be a serious technological thing, that they were just something for rich people to play with, and then they would go away and the rest of people could get on about their business with their horses and buggies. Guess what happened? So these laws that are being passed against, in some cases, outlawing autonomous cars, in my view, are every bit as silly as that New York State law back in the, I think it was about 1903.
Well, you know, upgrading technologies in ways.
I have to check the exact date. But
human nature to be sometimes a little resistant to change. But like the Borg, resistance is futile.
And I'm not saying unfettered adoption of new technologies
is a
good thing. No.
You have to be smart about
There's
it.
There's some scary stuff out there that we have to keep an eye on. Well, some of the robotics trends, things like that. But panicking and pretending that we can legislate it out of existence is not going to happen. Finally, I have to mention this one real quick. I stumbled across this one. on the AWL. It is a the Chinese have come up with a little tread operated robot with a bug zapping laser on it.
Oh, how cool is that?
A freaking laser beam on its head.
That's like the ultimate bug zapper, right? Exactly. Never mind those. The ones that are hanging on the corner of your patio, man.
I love this
stuff. This is serious.
It rolls around, it spots mosquitoes, and poof, zaps them. Imagine that. This is a redneck dream come true. Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. President Trump cracking down on potential terrorists from entering the United States. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has the report.
The president signed an executive action that he says is aimed at keeping radical Islamic terrorists out of the country.
We don't want them here.
Speaking at the Pentagon, the new commander-in-chief said he wants to implement new vetting measures for people coming from countries with strong ties to terrorism.
We only want to admit those into our country who will support our country and love deeply our people.
Greg Clugston, the White House.
Meanwhile, at New York's Kennedy Airport today,
no hate, no fear.
Protesters were out after several people were detained overnight. One man who was released this afternoon worked as an interpreter for the U.S. Army when it invaded Iraq in 2003. Later, he